Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Marine Resource Committee. Today we have a bunch of work sessions and some language review. Now, 1438.
LD 1438 is an act to improve the aquaculture leasing and licensing laws. You heard this on May 1st and had a work session on May 3rd, and it is tabled. This is the bill that would allow an aquaculture lease to extend from 10 to 20 years and perhaps expand. The bill would allow one expansion of 10%, up to 10%, during the term of the lease. And so there was some discussion from the committee about some aspects of parts of the bill that may want to be changed. So what I've done is made an amendment that I really don't want to be considered the committee's amendment. It's just a document to help you get through, I think, the issues that have come up before. So anything, this is just a copy of the bill, and anything that is that I thought was an open question or where you heard mostly from the department and from the Maine Aquaculture Association, where either of them had suggested a change to the bill. Those are in gray. And so something that is in gray is just to alert your attention to it. There are some areas that are struck, and those would be changes from the bill. There are some areas that are just gray and underlined, and those would be additions to the bill. So if you'd like, we can just go through.
I think that's probably. Did you have?
No, if we go through.
Go through it.
So the first one is in Section 2 of the bill, and that's that a lease may not exceed a term of what is currently is 10 years. The bill proposes to make that 20 years. I know there was some discussion at the last work session about.
Right. So here we are. Representative Bloom.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I did some discussion with Sebastian Bell on this, and now I understand clearly why we need the 20 years, because especially if we're going to encourage new people to develop licenses and develop businesses in the aquaculture industry, it's very difficult for them to get financing for 10 years. It's much easier for them to get 20 years. So that's the reason for the 20, and I understand that fully now, and I would be supportive of that.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Toole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I notice this shell has become a may. Was that our change, or was that?
That's just purely a grammatical change.
Okay.
Just the way that the laws are written.
Okay. I got you. And then I know we had a discussion last time of either 20 years or 15 or 10, and I know 20 for some is a longer period. I certainly think that 10 is too short a period, and I would be willing to go with 15 and see where we land with that. I think I did speak with some aquaculture folks as well, and they like 20, but they would also be okay with 15.
Representative Hawk.
Thank you. I like the 20.
Representative.
Amazing. It's twice in 1 week we've agreed.
Representative Simmons. Oh, I thought you had to. Anyone else? So, it looks like that there's very few want 15. How many want 15? 1, 2, 3. Would you consider 20? So what's the pleasure of the committee?
20.
Okay, so I think 20 it has to be because we don't number it. Okay, 20.
The next, I think, potential issue is at the bottom of that first page. That's the expansion amount. So the bill provides that the holder of a lease can expand the area of the lease up to 10% once during the duration of the lease term. And so you heard, I think, from Maine Aquaculture Association that they support 25%, and the department also indicated that perhaps it could be more than 10% if there was a maximum total acreage that would be allowed, so that a 10% increase or 25% increase of an already large lease area wouldn't get too big.
Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I've talked to a couple of people in the department about this. This is being driven by a newer aspect of the aquaculture industry primarily right now, seaweed growers, sea vegetables, whatever you want to call them. Their leases are relatively small. And with a 25% increase, if someone has a four-acre lease, it would be an increase of 1 acre. However, there are some well-established leases out there that are much larger, up in the hundreds of acres, and 25% at that point would be very large. Could affect these leases, could affect shipping channels and other areas. So what the department would like to see, and what I fully support, is upping the lease to this from 10 to 25%, but making that a maximum of 2 acres. So if you have an 8-acre lease, 25% of that is 2 acres. That would allow you to move to up to 10 acres. But if you had a 100-acre lease and wanted to increase by 25%, you would not be allowed to go to 25. You'd only be able to go up 2 acres.
Do you want to come up and join us?
Thank you.
Representative Simmons.
Yeah, 2 acres, I don't know, max. I'd rather go with a little bit higher max than that. Yeah, four acres. I mean, 4 acres isn't, or 5 acres. You know, I agree with Representative Devin's aspect of this, but going to a higher max, I'd be in favor of. Yep, 5 acres is not.
Thank you, Senator Maker. Meredith Mendelson, I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department. Thank you, Representative Devin. Since we spoke a little bit about this in the Department today, I think the Department is comfortable with going to 4 acres. And we looked at a number of leases to try to assess sort of the scale of the general leases that we're dealing with, and felt that 4 acres would encompass the majority of the leases as a maximum, so 25% up to 4 acres.
How does everyone feel about that? Representative Toole, you got your hand up?
I kind of do. I kind of am a little confused by it. I think I get it, so let me try to restate it. So it's... You may want to try to explain that a little clearer. The math is not computing today.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So if you had a 4-acre lease, the maximum you would be able to expand once in the term of your lease would be 1 acre. If you had a 16-acre lease, the maximum you would be able to expand over the course of your lease would be 4 acres. If you had a 100-acre lease, the maximum you would be able to expand over the term of your lease is 4 acres. So 4 acres would be the top, but it's up to 25%. So if you're smaller than 16 acres, your maximum would be lower than that.
So up to 25%, but no more than 4 acres.
Yeah, I, all right. That makes a lot more sense. I guess I was a little confused by Representative Devin. That makes a lot more... That makes a lot more sense. Now, in relation to these leases, could you explain where they are in relation to the title, whether they're in the intertitle, the subtitle, wherever they – could you – because there seems to be a little bit of a question on that topic. So could you delve into that just a touch?
So this would apply to any lease, but it wouldn't change any other provisions. So leases in the intertitle would still require approval from the riparian landowner and the municipality, so that wouldn't change. In subtitle leases, the municipality and the riparians are not required to provide explicit consent. So,
okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. Now, there's a percentage, too, as to how much area can be taken up. Am I correct in that, or I realize I'm probably a little off the field, but is that accurate or is that not accurate?
You mean total in state waters?
In tidal.
In the tidal areas.
No. Oh, the municipal aquaculture leases, which are 25% of the town's intertidal land.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Sutton, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Madam Chair. And it helps to have a little bit of historical background, so thank you, Representative Devin, for that regarding the smaller scale operations. But if that's the case, why was only 10% originally asked for? Do you know what the...
We originally felt that that was a reasonable limit, but I think in because of some of the larger leases that could have been given an expansion under that provision. But the acreage, I think we just hadn't thought about it, frankly, in terms of a limit on the number of acres. But that seemed to us like a way of compromising with what the Aquaculture Association was looking for.
Are we all in agreement, Representative Simmons?
This also just entails on expansion. Anything over that, they have to go back and have a renewal of their application. So this is pretty simple. So
they can still do it.
Is there anyone that does not agree? Okay. 25% up to...
Just while you're on that first page, Representative Kamiga, I know you had a question about the priority on the priority... What preference everyone gets, and I don't know if that was answered last time.
Yes, absolutely.
I think so, because this does apply to both subtitle and intertidal leases. So if it's an intertidal lease, then that's the only time that that C comes into play. So I'm good with that.
So then moving on to the second page, this is what the leaseholder must submit in that person's application to the commissioner for the expansion. And so the first three are unchanged, so a description of the area and the characterization of the physical and ecological impact of the expansion, written permission of every riparian owner whose land to the low water mark will be used. And then four was... it included a statement from each of those riparian owners that the owner has no objection to the proposed lease expansion, and the Maine Aquaculture Association, I think, in their testimony, suggested that it just be changed to documentation showing that the applicant has informed each of those riparian owners of the application and the opportunity for comment. So instead of getting an affirmative statement from each of them, the requirement is now just showing that you have actually contacted them.
Is that okay?
That they know.
Any questions regarding that? Okay. Oh, Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is this a change? Is this talking about the 10% that they're asking for, whatever the increase is? Does that part apply just to the expansion of the lease? Is that correct?
These are the requirements for what needs to be in the application to expand the lease.
Okay, and that same process is mirrored in the initial application?
There's notice to riparians for the initial application, but then the process goes on and has the public hearing, a full public hearing. So the intent here is to have to ensure that the riparians receive notice, but then it's a slightly less burdensome process for the applicant to get the expansion. But
Okay, is everybody okay? Okay.
So the next change is on the same page in paragraph B. It says the commissioner shall review the application, and when the commissioner has determined that the application is complete, the commissioner shall provide notice to the municipal officers of the municipality or municipalities in which or adjacent to which the lease expansion is proposed. The commissioner shall publish a summary of the application, and this is new, and notice of opportunity to submit comments to the department in a newspaper of general circulation. And then a person may provide, within 30 days of publication of a lease expansion summary, comments to the commissioner. So it It adds a requirement that the commissioner that the summary include the opportunities to submit comments to the commissioner about the proposed expansion, and then it clarifies the amount of time that a person has. So the 30 days is measured from the date of publication. So
is everyone okay with that, Representative Toole?
Okay, I mean that seems straightforward enough, but what happens, say, there's a bunch of comments are all over the place. What then would happen? Is that captured in here in some way?
So moving down to paragraph D, it used to say that if the commissioner receives any comments within 30 days, that the commissioner objecting to the lease expansion, that the commissioner shall deny the request. So instead of requiring the commissioner to deny the request if there are any comments objecting to the expansion, now it says that the commissioner shall consider comments received within the 30 days. And then moving on further to paragraph E, if the commissioner determines that based upon the application and the comments received, the lease expansion meets the requirements of subsection 7A, which is the initial application, which is the criteria for granting the initial lease, then the commissioner shall approve the request for the lease expansion. So instead of requiring the commissioner to deny it if there are any comments objecting to it, it requires the commissioner to consider those comments. And essentially, what it's saying is that if those comments give the commissioner reason to information that would in evaluating the expansion against the initial criteria, if there's any reason why that lease would be denied based on those initial lease criteria, then if there's not any reason, then the commissioner must approve the lease expansion. So.
But if there is a reason, say, I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is I agree that one person should not be able to necessarily throw the whole thing into turmoil, but I do think we need to have some public process in there whereby there can be a way to stop something that a community may perceive as bad news from happening. I mean, whether that's a public hearing process or a signature collection or whatever the case may be, I do think something that you do you get where I'm going with this? Or
I do, and this the draft you have in front of you doesn't give the public the ultimate authority to shut this process down like the bill did, but we could certainly
I'm not saying it can't do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would say I don't want to give one person the authority, the ability to shut the process completely down. But on the other hand, I don't know that I want to have the word shall in there, you know, because there may be, if you're going by the original lease criteria and you're 5 years into the lease and some things in the environment may have changed, there may be other reasons that the commissioner should deny the expansion, so I don't want to box them in, but maybe I'd like to hear what the department has to say about that.
Yes.
Or should there be some other criteria in there to take into account changing conditions?
We were just discussing that same issue. Thank you, Representative Kamiga. I'm not sure if that's just a structural thing about how it's drafted. We would probably prefer May if there isn't a structural reason to do it that way as well, so that there's additional discretion for the department there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I had my hand out for the same reason. This whole section that starts on the first page 12C and goes through, the only issue I have is in E, the word may as opposed to shall, for the reasons that were discussed. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. So is everyone okay with the rest of it? Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One additional thing. I just, in the last work session, we had hoped that we might be able to have some flexibility on the days of publication, so it would be a minimum of 30 days, but if for a particularly complex expansion or in an area where there might be some controversy or seasonal residents, that we might have additional time, if appropriate, that we would have the discretion to do that.
Sounds good. So you would just word that a minimum of 30 days? No, you wouldn't word it that way.
I think we could just say that the commissioner, in B, the commissioner shall publish a summary of the application and notice of opportunity to submit comments to the department, and put a say that the commissioner may establish a time frame for submitting comments that must be a minimum of 30 days.
That I think.
And then we can refer below to within the comment period established under Section B or something like that.
Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Moving on. Let's see. I think Section 5 of the bill and the amendment just expands the department's rulemaking authority to include expanding leases. Section 6 of the bill and the amendment for limited purpose aquaculture licenses. This was a request from the Maine Aquaculture Association. It adds that language in subsection 2 that says a limited purpose aquaculture license expires 6 years after the date of its issuance.
Representative Devin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we ask the department to comment on that line, a limited purpose aquaculture license expires 6 years after the date of its issuance?
Thank you, Representative Devin. The department is not finds this, I guess, a language a little bit difficult to manage. There are a number of small commercial operations that utilize the LPA structure. It's adequate for them. I'm not sure that there is a real need to move them into a lease structure. It would add potentially additional applicants into the process when we have a growing industry that, you know, poses some just sort of workflow issues for the department. I think the other challenge there is that if they did expire and people didn't want to move into a lease, potentially they would just find another way around that. So from our point of view, there's a fair amount of sort of administrative challenges related to it. And potential delay that doesn't actually accomplish what we think the association may be trying to achieve with it. And we haven't resolved in our minds how we would get around those things.
So you would like to have some changes here?
We would prefer to leave, you know, LPAs available to people without an expiration on the number of years that someone could hold one for a commercial purpose. Right. So one other thing, though, the other pieces related to this are, you know, sort of driven by not wanting to see people keep. There's some question as to people whether or not people are kind of abusing the structure of limited purpose aquaculture licenses, having a large number of those and continually expanding them. And we do see that that is a challenge that we could address through rulemaking. There are some ways that we can further restrict people from participating in other LPAs as helpers to try to rein in the use of that tool as sort of a growth mechanism when people should be moving into leases if they actually want to grow their business.
So would you just take expiration right out of there?
I guess that's a question for Craig, but yes, I would say that and then strike the language that's stated.
The limited purpose agriculture. Now the rest that are striked, that's already striked out, that's okay with you?
That was from the bill. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, Representative.
So you're planning on doing rulemaking to get curtail the situation where you have a number of LPAs gang together to create, which is essentially a lease, a large or maybe a moderate lease site of ganged up LPAs?
Correct. Currently, LPA holders can have up to four LPAs and then can be helpers on an unlimited number. We could certainly constrain the number of LPAs that people can be helpers on to help limit that.
Right. I mean, you've got a number of LPAs issued to different people, but it's kind of essentially it's the same commercial operation.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
So how is everyone on that section? Okay.
So the rest of that page and most of the following page are just moving the criteria for issuing a limited purpose aquaculture license, and that was from the bill. But the next shaded section is in the eligibility section, and that the new language that's shaded adds that only one limited purpose aquaculture license may be issued to an individual growing organisms for personal use, and then up to two limited purpose aquaculture licenses may be issued to a household when two or more members of that household are growing organisms for personal use. And that was a recommendation from the Maine Aquaculture Association. Also.
How are you with that? Like,
I think the department is okay with this. However, there are certainly people who may need to be grandfathered into this who have more than one LPA currently and are using it for a recreational purpose or personal use. So they will have an impact if we don't have some authority to grandfather them.
So we'd have to add language to grandfather those in, or this would be effective starting now?
Well, I suppose it could either, well, this is sort of like the scallops. You could make that section effective on a date in the future, and those people would have noticed that they will not be able to have more than one or two per household on that date. So they could continue to do what they're doing right now, but also new people could continue to do the same thing. Could continue to have more than one or more than two per household up until that date in the future, which everyone would know about. It would be in state law. Or you could allow people who right now are not in compliance with this to continue until a certain date or until they give up those licenses, and not allow anyone new from this date forward to do what would be prohibited.
Thank you. I'd like to start at January 1st. Is my
Representative Simmons.
How long does it take to go through the process of the LPA?
We turn those around in about a month, so certainly the people who are, and where I think about it, the people who are currently doing this could still continue to have multiple LPAs. They would just have to designate them as commercial.
Is everyone okay with that? Representative Kamega.
So there's no proposed limit on, or is there a limit on commercial LPAs?
An individual person can hold four. So there's no further proposal to further limit that in this bill.
So if somebody has four now and they're just using them for themselves, which seems like a lot, but say they are, they could just have them as commercial. And, I mean, you can't – somebody has a commercial lease, you can't force them to sell their product. So I think – if we just leave it the way it is, and if they've got three or four for personal use now, they'll just have to license them as commercial. And
I'd like to strike that whole thing out. What's the pleasure? Representative Toole, did you have something you wanted to add?
As far as the January 1st date, would that be of this year or next year?
Next year.
Would that not create the same situation of a gold rush, say, like we had with the scallop situation? Or maybe it wouldn't. I don't know.
No, because these are only annual licenses, it will not have that effect.
Okay. So if we did leave it as is, could you, as they're going to get their license, just tell them you'll have to change to commercial without adding an extra date?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think the only issue here is that the second sentence of what's shaded would need to be struck. That would be the piece we would deal with through rulemaking.
I guess I'm not clear as to what the benefit of this. I mean, if they can only get four anyway, we're saying if you're commercial, you can get four. If you're non-commercial, you're limited to one. We're not talking about LPAs are not very big, right?
They're up to 400 square feet.
400 square feet on the water is a pretty small area. That's a dock.
Yeah. So it's been recommended just to remove that shaded area.
Yep. I'm all right with that.
Yep. Is everybody in agreement? Okay. Okay.
I think the next change from the bill is on the second to last page, and these are a couple new prohibitions. So the first is in what would be subsection 7B, prohibition transporting organisms. The holder of a limited purpose aquaculture license who has indicated that the person is growing organisms for personal use may not transport organisms grown under that license between the location identified on that person's license and the location identified on any other limited purpose aquaculture license. This, again, was a proposal from the Maine Aquaculture Association. And then 7C is another prohibition. The holder of a limited purpose aquaculture license who has indicated that the person is growing organisms for personal use may not sell or offer for sale organisms grown under that license. So transporting and selling.
Senator Vitale.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So 7C seems pretty clear. 7B, the reason for that is, just so I'm understanding, transporting from one to another location. What's the purpose of that?
I believe it was a biosecurity issue, but...
I'm just reading the Aquaculture Association's testimony. It says, for biosecurity reasons, we would also like to see the movement of organisms between recreational LPAs prohibited.
Representative Simmons?
The reason why some of these people have multiple leases is because they raise a small product in one spot and transfer it to another spot to grow out. So you're going to have to move them. Either that or you're going to be staying in one spot with the product. So I don't know how to get around that, because people move product all the time from one lease to the next. This prohibits that.
This would only prohibit it, though, between personal LPAs and commercial LPAs. So I think what we're saying is you basically would have one or the other.
And what is the feeling?
The department doesn't have any objections to
that.
The language should be clarified about between the personal and the commercial, though, and we can do that for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Kamega.
So the prohibition on sale, we get too many bills this session. Did we not just pass or vote on a bill to require a license to sell from aquaculture sites? So do we need 7C? Because a recreational grower wouldn't have a license. I mean, I don't care one way or another, but if we don't need it, we don't need it. If they needed a license to sell it and the recreational grower can't get a license, if they can, then we probably need to fix that.
Sure. Deirdre Gilbert, Department of Marine Resources. Like you said, there's nothing that we can do to if somebody obtains a commercial license, we can't make them sell their product. Like, you could still be a recreational grower who just happened to buy a commercial license and didn't exercise that. But Craig and I had talked briefly about with that aquaculture license, in my testimony I had mentioned that I wish that we had provided a clear exemption to say, if you are an aquaculturist who has that lease or license purely for personal use, you are exempted from having to obtain the aquaculture license, because the notion behind that license was to enable you to possess and sell product that you had raised on your lease or license. So we could create an exemption to that license, and then I don't think that you would need to specify that somebody without a commercial license can't sell. Am I making sense?
Create the exemption in the
aquaculture license
that creates the aquaculture license. So the exemption would be a person who holds a personal LPA is not required to hold an aquaculture license.
Right. A person who is not selling the product that is raised on their lease or license would not be required to obtain an aquaculture license.
Right.
The only way that you could sell product is if you bought the aquaculture license.
So we're back to 7C.
So
do we need that?
I don't think you need it if you create that other clarity.
So that would be, the clarity would go into 7C.
The clarity would go into the other bill.
Oh, the other bill.
Creates the aquaculture license. I don't know what section that is, but...
it's a new section of law.
Yeah, it actually... I mean, it could go into this bill, just amending... Actually, it couldn't. It's a new section of law.
Okay. So...
so it's not law yet.
That's not law yet. if you did want to make that clarification in that bill, we'd need to have that bill in front of us. And then I think 7C here would be unnecessary.
Representative Battle, do you have a question?
Can you have a license and also have a personal? Real personal? The reason I'm asking is because I can see at the point of 7C, somebody who's doing it as a business to sell and then also has their own for their own personal, say, family, is what 7C would stop them taking that personal stuff and putting it in and shifting it over to the marketable.
So with the aquaculture license, we were not thinking of that as being specific to each LPA. Either someone will hold an aquaculture license, and that will enable them to sell product that they have raised by means of aquaculture. And if I were that person, regardless of what I intended to do with the product on that LPA, I would tell the department, these are all commercial, because there's no reason to tell us that something is personal use other than to avoid a licensing requirement.
Right.
So I think what would happen is that person would say all of these are commercial LPAs, and they would obtain an aquaculture license, and if they chose to just eat some of the product that they grow, there's no problem with that.
Right, but that's what 7C, my understanding, would be prohibiting, is the fact that somebody taking what they're taking personal and then turning around, shifting it over to the commercial side of the business and then turning around selling it if business is good.
But all they are doing, they are just telling, when they buy their LPA, they would have to tell us, am I going to do personal use or commercial use with this LPA?
Okay, and there's a limit on how many commercial they can have, right?
There's a limit on how many they can have, period, four.
Right.
And then there was a proposal.
So I have my four commercial. Can I also have?
No, you can have four.
Four no matter
regardless
what?
Regardless of.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Did you have a question, Representative Kamea?
Does it matter if you've designated as personal or commercial as long as you're not selling from it?
Well, that's the thing. I guess that's where I'm not. Where is the other bill?
I think it's been voted.
Yeah.
It has been voted. At least a majority, perhaps unanimous, ought to pass. Unanimous ought to pass, yeah.
So we'd have to reconsider it to add to it.
You would. It's not a big deal from my point of view, and if I think if you we could do it right now, actually, if you're clear enough about, I don't have the bill in front of me, but if you're clear about what the exemption should be, it doesn't seem like a big thing to me, and it seems very doable to draft. So.
Okay. So why don't we cross out 7C, and then we'll go back, we'll go to this next bill to,
sure.
to take care of that. Okay. After we do this one. Right.
So that is actually the last change from the bill that I think was brought to you. There was actually one, the department gave you a sheet of paper about preferences, and I talked to the department between last week and now, and I think we agreed that those preferences are not, any changes on that separate sheet of paper that they gave you is not necessary to
okay.
accomplish what they were looking
All
for.
Right.
So it's already in there.
So does anybody have any questions on this bill? Representative Toole.
All right, so I guess I'm pretty well set with it. But going back through the public process thing again, because I do think we do need to protect, make sure that the public does have adequate protections throughout, as well as the industry.
Where are you uncomfortable?
Is there any way in there that if the public in a community really had an issue with a project in their community, would there be any? How would they go about dealing with that? I guess is my bottom line question, and would they have any recourse?
Are you speaking specifically to, I'm sorry, Meredith Middleton, Deputy Commissioner DMR, are you speaking specifically to the expansion provisions, Representative?
Yes.
So certainly the notice provisions, I think, provide that opportunity to the municipality and to riparians. And I think, you know, the intent of this provision as we've created it is to provide the industry with the opportunity to grow their businesses with a slightly less burdensome process. But certainly the discretion that's granted to the commissioner is intentional, and the intention there was to make sure that the department has the leeway to deny a lease application if there's a lot of controversy around it or if it's going to pose issues related to the original lease criteria. So I think it's unlikely. I mean, the intent here was to provide a mechanism for growth for those leases that aren't going to pose a problem and, have the ability and the support of their surrounding community to expand without presenting much of a problem, but certainly for a lease where we anticipated there would be, significant issues, we would want to require either site visit, which is allowed under this provision, or potentially just deny the expansion request and require the applicant to go back to a new lease proposal altogether to provide for that public process.
Would there be an option? Could we put some? Would you be okay with putting something in about if so many, say, 10% or 15% of the citizens of a community wanted to have a public hearing? Would that be something you'd be on board with, or something like that, as well?
I think again, if there was a chance that we were getting comments or indications that there were a lot of objections from a community, we would simply deny the expansion application and require the applicant to go back through the full application process to go through getting a new lease, and so that opportunity for the public hearing would be there. There would be no incentive for the department to want to do this in a situation where there was opposition.
Hearing no more questions, could have a motion, please. Senator?
I move that we accept the amendments to LD 1438 and move its passage forward.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Representative Battle, any more discussion?
Senator Maker.
So just my notes are a little messy here. Where do we end up with as far as the expansion section? Was it 25% plus 25% with a maximum of 4 acres being the
yes.
correct?
Yeah.
So 25 and 4%. Okay, thanks.
To you mind if I just run down through the motion to make sure that
sure.
I have it and all of you have it?
Absolutely. So, no problem.
I have the first gray shaded areas would be changed to 20 years, or the bill would not be changed, actually, but 20 years as provided in the bill would stay. And then in Section 4 of the amendment, subsection 12C, that is going to be 25%, and there's going to be a maximum expansion of 4 acres. On the next page, the first grade section, subparagraph 4, that's okay. So that there is going to be documentation showing that the applicant has informed each of those riparian owners of the application and the opportunity for comment. Paragraph B is going to just be clarified that to show that there's people have a minimum of 30 days to provide comments. There's going to be a similar change to paragraph D. Otherwise, all the gray areas are accepted. On the next page, paragraph E, instead of the commissioner shall approve the request for the lease expansion, it's going to be the commissioner may approve the request for the lease expansion. In section 5 of the amendment, the part that would limit the limited purpose aquaculture licenses to 6 years is going to be struck. All that will be struck. And then continuing on eligibility, that grade language is not going to be included in the amendment. So that was the limits on personal and households. And then subsection 7B is going to be clarified get some clarification that it's not that the transport can't be between personal and commercial LPAs. And then striking 7C from what you have in front of you.
I think that's it. Does everybody agree? I think that's it. Yes, Representative Cabega.
On section A4 on the second page.
Yep.
It says informed each of those riparian owners of the applicant. I think you want to change it to application. I just wanted to make sure you saw that and didn't just copy and paste. And
I got it.
You got it. Good.
Should have known. We'll get it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. No other discussion. All those in favor? Unanimous.